We're starting a new series this morning. The title of the series is Dirt, and we'll kind of unpack what that means in just a few minutes, but we have kind of a little project this morning, something totally different. If you're used to going to a church where you just get to sit and watch and do nothing, you're going to realize that as you hang out with Genesis, every once in a while we throw a curveball and mess that up for you, okay? And this is one of those mornings, as we start thinking about a parable that Jesus told, and we'll read the parable in just a few minutes, but as we start thinking about a parable that Jesus told about a sower, some seed, and the soil, the dirt. And so to kind of start getting us thinking about that, we have prepared a project. And the project's not real hard. We want you to do this in family units. So for this, teenagers, you will have to find your parents if they're here. If you're here and the rest of your family unit's not here, you're welcome to come down and do this by yourself. But we have several tables set up. And what we'd like you to do is just come down, find a table, just find a place around it. And there are cups full of dirt. And then we have some grass seed in a planter there, a little vase kind of thing. I was joking about this or said this morning, and when you start talking about growing grass, you know that you're getting all kinds of weird comments. People are like, oh, we're the only church in town that has people growing grass. And, you know, I told them that every time I try to grow grass, I end up growing weed. But it's just the way my yard works. Everybody's like, oh, that was bad. Okay, I'll move on. But this morning, what we want you to do is we want you to come down here and grab a cup with your family, and we want you to plant, take a little bit of the grass seed and kind of, you know, have your kids do this so that it'll be their hands to get dirty, and just kind of knead it down where it's just, I have here a couple inches. We don't want to go that far down, just a little bit underneath the soil. Just plant a little bit of grass there, get enough where it'll grow up and be a nice full thing over the next few weeks, and then water it. We have watering cans here, and you can just water your grass a little bit, get it nice and moist, and then take it back. And then the last instruction that's not up here is this. Don't kick it over or leave it in here, all right? We need you to take it with you. And I'll explain what we'd like you to do with it when I come back and read the text in just a few minutes. So we're going to be playing music. I'm actually going to come down off stage, so are the band members. They're going to go find their families, and we're going to spend a few minutes doing this. So we're going to ask you to go ahead and stand up, find your family, and come on down here and make yourself a thing of plant here, all right? At the end of your rows, we have Bibles for you. If you don't have a Bible, we would love for you to take one of those. We're going to go ahead and read the story of the parable of the sower and the seed and the soil this morning out of Mark chapter 4. And so grab your Bible. I'm just going to read the text. We'll come back out a little bit later and kind of unpack this. But here's the big idea of your plant, okay? The whole point of this story that from the lips of Jesus, the whole point of the story is that you and I, Jesus is comparing our hearts and our ears to dirt. And the reality that there is a seed that is planted, but how we hear it and how we receive it will determine what happens with that seed. And so what we want you to do, we gave you good dirt, okay? The goal in the story is for our lives to end up being good soil, to be good dirt. And we gave you good dirt this morning. And what we want you to do is we want you to take this home and put it somewhere where it gets a little bit of sun. We actually bought grass that is for dense shade, knowing that if you were growing it in your house, it may be hard to find a sunny place. But put it in someplace where we'll at least get a little bit of sun and keep it watered and all this kind of stuff. And our challenge, our encouragement for you over the next couple weeks is to use this both in your own life and the life of your family to raise the question, is my heart soft and am I receiving the seed of the gospel well? And also use it as a place maybe to do a little bit of family devotion, family prayer, to pray with your family and to talk about the sermon and things like that each week as we look at four different types of soils over four different weeks. So if you have a Bible, Mark chapter 4. If you don't, at the end of your rows, we have them. Make sure everybody has a Bible. We'll be on pages 715 and 716 in that Bible. And we're going to do a series over 4 weeks over four different types of dirt. And here's the story. Jesus is telling the story. It says he began to teach beside the sea and a very large crowd gathered about him. And so he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell in rocky ground where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed fell among the good soil and produced grain, growing up, increasing, and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, those around him of the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, they may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. And he said to them, now he's going to explain the parable. He said to them, do you not understand the parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word, and it is sown in them. And these are the ones sown in rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown along the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that are sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. If it gets too annoying, I'll grab the other microphone. All right. Wow. Got my farm hat on. Doesn't make me a farmer, though. I'll talk about that in a minute. But I did hear a joke, okay? There's this guy driving down the road, and he sees this farmer standing out in the middle of his field, right? Dang, I hate doing this. Give me this, all right? We'll just have to do that this morning. All right, there's a farmer out standing in his field, and the guy drives down the road, he sees him, and it just, you know, he's just standing there looking, just staring at it. Dirt and crops and whatever. And so the guy's driving down the road, and he stops. He just stares at the guy, and the guy never moves. He's just standing there looking out into his field, just this farmer just checking his field out. And so finally the guy just, he's like, the curiosity is too much. I have to find out why. And he walks out. He's like, hey, man, what's going on? And he said, well, I'm just sitting here trying to win a Nobel Prize. The guy's like, what in the world do you mean? A Nobel Prize? Yeah, I'm just trying to win a Nobel Prize. I saw on the news the other day that they give the Nobel Prize to someone who's outstanding in their field. Wow. I think at the start of every sermon in this series, I'm going to tell a farming joke just so you guys can all be like, I can't believe he's doing that. I was going to dress like in whole farm gear. I bought myself, this is a Harvester International. I couldn't buy a John Deere hat because my family wouldn't allow it. My father-in-law is a farmer. He's retired, but he farmed over 2,000 acres in Illinois of soybeans and corn and wheat. And I mean, big old giant grain farm. And, you know, they were Harvester International red hat people. There's two types of farmers. There's green hat and red hat. The green hat people are John Deere, and the red, it's kind of like there's also two types of farmers when it comes to truck. You either drive a GMC or a Ford. And if you drive a GMC, you despise Ford. If you drive a Ford, you despise GMC. Well, the same thing's true with tractors. If you're a John Deere person, you don't like Harvester. And if you're a Harvester person, you don't like John Deere. And so I thought about buying a John Deere hat, but then I realized my wife wouldn't let me wear it because she is Harvester people, all right, just the way it works. And so I found I went into Dickie Bob's. I actually was going to wear overalls. And I was like, I'm actually going to preach in overalls. And my wife looked at me, she goes, you look like a dork. And then she's like, let's bring Alex in and see what she thinks. And Alex just looked at me and froze, and her eyes were this big. And she said, Dad, out of all the things you've ever done, and you've embarrassed me a lot in church, this by far would be the most embarrassing. You cannot wear those. So I didn't wear the bib overalls, but I will tell you this, that putting a hat on and overalls will not make me a farmer. I can't grow jack. Especially grass. We kill grass in the Hubbard family. I don't know what it is about us, but we keep, like, our home in Baldwin. We bought this home in Baldwin, and it had a beautiful backyard full of grass. Now, it also had, like, 23 trees in just a normal backyard in the Baldwin area. And so it was really deeply shaded. But once the grass started dying, like, one year we kind of were late raking our leaves up, and there were a bunch of bare spots. It didn't matter what we did. We could sod it. We could plant seed. I mean, it didn't matter what we did. The grass never grew back. And I just said, you know, it's the soil. It's the shade. It's the, you know, the soil's packed down. There's not anything we can do. So then we moved to this beautiful house in Eureka. And beautiful grass, front yard, background, beautiful grass. We're killing the grass again. And I don't know what it is about us. And then, like, I go and buy every type of grass seed I can find. And you know, I'll go out and I just put it in our spreader and I just throw seed everywhere and it doesn't grow.
Did this this spring. Nothing grew. So then I went out a second time. Grass seed's not cheap. I went out a second time. I bought a whole bunch of grass seed again. And this time I worked my tail off going out. I actually bought a whole bunch of topsoil dirt and laid it over to areas that were already getting really, you know, really bare. And, you know, I got a rake and I dug it up and I chunked it up where it was nice, soft. And then I planted, you know, the grass seed. I put fertilizer. I did everything they said to do. And I got 3 blades in one spot. 2 attempts to grow grass. I can't make it happen. We can't grow anything, and I don't know what my problem is. But when it comes to this parable, I got to tell you that I'm not very good at the idea of sowing, okay? But other farmers know exactly what they want. Here's a big picture here. A farmer, when he sows seed, he's not just doing something random. He knows exactly what he's wanting. He is wanting to put seed in the ground early in the spring so that in the fall, this time of year, he can go out in the fields and harvest. And if you've been driving around recently, especially if you get out into the country, you realize it is harvest time. Farmers are in the fields in their big old giant combines cutting corn. And it's just, I love to watch that. I am awed as I watch farmers who are out in the field cutting their corn, working in the combines. It's just an amazing thing. Now, I told you I married a farm girl. What I found out from this is that when I hang out with her, she actually loves the smell of dirt, which still is a little weird to me, but like we'll be driving and you roll down your windows this time of year and they're cutting and you just kind of smell the dirt that's been turned oil, and she just turned over and she'll just sit there and go, "Oh, isn't that beautiful?" I'm like, "It smells like dirt." "I know, that's my favorite smell." You know, most women are favorite smell flowers, perfume. My wife's, it's dirt, but see, that's farm girl, okay? And you can take the girl off the farm, but you can't take the farm out of the girl kind of deal, you know? And so, farmers are looking forward to this time of year. Everything they work for is toward the harvest. Well, Jesus uses this imagery to tell us a story. And the story is about a farmer who just goes out and he throws a seed. He does what a farmer does. He takes corn or he takes soybeans or he takes wheat. He takes a seed and he sows the seed. And he puts it out. Now, this is before there were giant, you know, tractors that could break up any ground. And it was at a time where the fields just were what they were and they had to just kind of throw the seed and hope that it would come up. And in the story, the farmer goes out and he sows a bunch of seed. But as he sows the seed, the outcome of the seed depends on the soil. We find out that the seed is good. The issue is never the seed. The issue is never the sower. The issue is the soil. And in the story, there are 4 types of soils. We end up with soil that is a path. You see us scrolling scenes of a path. That's what we're doing. For those of you who can't connect the dots and we have to explain it all to you, we're showing you seeds. And sometimes a path is just caused by ruts. Sometimes a path is just caused by a lot of use. Sometimes it literally is caused by when somebody literally comes in and builds a road. The Greek word here, the word in the New Testament, literally is a word for a path or a road. Sometimes even used for the idea of a highway. And so there's a path. And the seed that's sown on that, it never even has a chance. I mean, before anything happens, birds come and eat it up. The second type of seed that comes along, or the second type of seed that falls on soil that has rocks. And what happens is that soil quickly starts growing, and all of a sudden you see a plant, and you're like, yes, but it doesn't have any place for the roots to go because the rocks are there, and that soil eventually or when the hardship, the sun shines down on it and it goes through a season or there's not enough rain, that soil just, that seed just literally dries up and withers away. The third type of soil that the seed finds is soil that has thorns and thistles growing up. And it starts growing up, but the thorns and the thistles choke it off eventually. But the fourth type of soil, the type of soil that the farmer is hoping for, is good soil. Soil that's broken up, that's soft, that's pliable, that's usable. And when the seed finds this soil, it produces a crop. And Jesus uses this imagery where everybody sitting here has been, you know, everybody in the story, as Jesus is telling it, has seen this happen. They've watched a farmer out, you know, planting, and they've been, you know, hanging out in fall when the farmer was in his field picking his crop and going, yeah, I get this. A farmer gets a seed, and they're just nodding, going on about their business, and then Jesus just goes, the end, and they go home. But there is something much deeper and much more amazing going on as Jesus tells this story. And what we want to do is over the next 4 weeks, we want to take what Jesus has said, the words that he says in this story, and try to apply them because each of us are one of these 4 types of soil. And here's the scary thing, okay? all four types of soil get the seed, but only one of the four types of soil are truly, as Jesus tells the story, followers of Jesus. They are truly disciples of Christ. Three out of four types of soil think they're okay with God, walk away from the situation, and have totally missed the gospel. So why a series on this story? Two reasons. Reason number one, I've spent my life in church. And as I am called by God to pastor this church, I know that I have hung out with a lot of people, and I think there's a lot of us even here, that we kind of hang out, we do the religious thing, we do church. But when it comes deep down to it, there is no evidence of fruit in our lives. There's no evidence of the gospel working deeply in us. We're in the system, but we have not truly had a life-changing encounter with Jesus. And the seed of the gospel is not taking deep root in our lives. And so we're doing the process, we're doing the system, but we're not really being transformed. And as Jesus explains this story, you got to understand, this is not somebody out in the middle of Africa who's never heard the gospel. These are all people who've encountered the teaching of Jesus. And as your pastor, I just feel this weight of the possibility that when we hang out on Sunday mornings, there may be several people in this room who've been involved in religion and been part of some kind of system, or and maybe you've even been sitting here with us for 4 years, but there is some reason that the gospel is not penetrating deep into your soul and transforming your life. And this parable is a chance to say, do what in 1 Corinthians, where Jesus says, listen, it is important that we examine ourselves to make sure whether or not we're in the faith. We need to test ourselves. A second reason I want to do this is because, and we're actually going to do the parable. The parable shows up in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. These three guys are telling the story of Jesus. These gospel writers are telling the story of Jesus. All three of these gospel writers have this parable. But we chose Mark, and the reason we chose Mark is that this is actually, this little short four sermon series is actually a preparation for the next series that we're going to start after these 4 weeks, where we go back and we actually are going to spend the better part of the year telling you about the life of Jesus as we look at the entire book of Mark. We're going to preach through the entire book of Mark. We may take a couple little breaks to do some side series just to kind of highlight some other things, but then we're just going to go straight through the book of Mark. And the reason is because after 4 years here, a lot of you are new to the faith. A lot of you are still kind of, you know, peering over the fence, looking in, trying to figure out if this is for you or not. And what we want to do is we want to spend a long time looking at a story, the Gospel of Mark, this book written by this young man that tells us who Jesus is, what he did, and what he was all about. Because at the end of the day, the entire message that we have is about Jesus. That's it. And we want you to see him clearly, understand him fully. But as we do this, the story of Jesus is the gospel. And what happens is we don't want to go through a year of the book of Mark and not stop and say, listen, as you listen, as you hear, as we stand up here and we teach and we preach and we proclaim about Jesus, we want to make sure that your hearts are already softened and prepared to receive the message that will come out as we preach through Mark. So instead of starting at the beginning of Mark, we're going to jump ahead to Mark chapter 4 and tell this story to hopefully allow a plow to start breaking up the hardness and the rocks and the pull away the thorns that may exist in your lives, so that when we go back to the beginning and we start saying, here's who Jesus is, your hearts are already soft so that the seed gets planted deep and it produces a great crop. And that the next year will be a time of amazing fruitfulness for Genesis Church and for you as an individual. And so that's why we're starting here. We're going to do a series called Dirt that looks at these four types of soils. And kind of to open that up, what I need to do is I need to explain to you the entire parable and some things that Jesus says here. And so three kind of points about the parable as a whole that we find, three ideas. And before we get there, I need to tell you what a parable is, okay? Jesus is teaching in parables. He does this a lot. Jesus, one of his major preaching and teaching methods is to gather large crowds, and he uses parables. And what he does is he tells stories. Jesus is a master storyteller. He is somebody who uses a lot of illustrations, a lot of real life ideas, a lot of things that people, when they hear the illustration, immediately their mind goes to their experience. It'll be something that people have in common, and they will hear the story, and immediately the story will connect. And so a parable at the very heart of it, the basic idea of a parable is a parable is a story using common life images that points to divine truth. That as Jesus tells the story, there's something underneath the basic story that helps us see the kingdom of God, the purpose of God in our lives, and the purpose of God on the earth. In fact, most of the parables, Jesus begins it with a phrase something like this: the kingdom of God is like. Well, a kingdom is where a king rules. And he's saying, this is what it looks like for God to rule as king, for Jesus to be our king. And as he explains these, he then tells stories that people will go, oh, I get the story. But what happens, and this is what Jesus, and we're going to explain this in just a few minutes, Jesus says most people will hear the story and go, oh, that's a cute story, and then they will go out the doors and go on about their lives. And that literally in one way, shape, or form, that parables are there to reveal God's truth so that when we hear the parable, if we respond to it and want to know more and want the kingdom to reach into our lives, it will transform us. But for a lot of other people, they will go, oh, that's a cute story, and move on about their lives, not allowing the message of the story to go any deeper, not seeking the greater meaning, and not allowing that message to sink deep into here so that their lives are changed by it. And this is preaching. This is the way it works. It's hard because I stand up here and God's called me to invest my life into doing this, but I know that every week there are some people who, it's like a seed that reaches deep in their soul and something might start growing. For a lot of others, they just go, well, that was cute, that was nice, that was funny, and move on. And so to understand this parable, we need to look at the three main players here, okay? And the first one is the fact that there is a sower, the sower. And verse 3 says, a sower went out and sowed a seed. I mean, is a farmer a dude who's just going out and he's sowing a seed? But who is Jesus referring to? And we go on down to verse number 14. It says, the sower sows the word. So he's connecting the dots between a farmer tossing seed and a person who sows the word, who preaches and teaches and proclaims the scriptures and the message behind the scriptures. In the Matthew's version of the story, Matthew tells us that in a very clear way that the sower at a basic level is Jesus. Jesus says the sower is the Son of Man. And so the first sower is Jesus. That Jesus, you know, basically in telling these stories and giving parables and preaching to the crowds and teaching his disciples, he is throwing seed. He's scattering seed, making sure it gets to all kinds of people in all kinds of situations, and he is just putting the seed out. But not only is this to be Jesus, it's anybody who proclaims the message of the gospel, that there is a central message. And in the book of Jude, chapter 3, Jude, who is actually the half-brother of Jesus, the son of Mary and Joseph, says this: Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. And this phrase, the bottom phrase, is a very interesting and important phrase for us to understand. It says, to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. And as Jude is talking, the question is, who delivered it? The answer is Jesus. That what the way we got the message that we proclaim to you is, I stand on this stage, I'm a succession of people who had the faith once for all delivered. That Jesus came, he taught, he preached, he shared, he interacted with crowds, he interacted with 12 disciples, and he taught them and he proclaimed. And these 12 men, after Jesus' death and resurrection, were commissioned now to go become sowers. Now you're the farmer. And they went out and they started scattering seed. And as they scattered seed, some people heard the gospel and it went deep in their souls and their lives were transformed. And some of those people began to proclaim the message of the gospel. And they trained others. And eventually, in the town of Dearborn, Michigan, a sweet little lady invited my mom and my dad and his sister to go to church. And he was 5 years old, and he went and heard the message of the gospel, and he was a really soft-hearted dude, because right away he was like, I'm in, I believe in this. My dad became a follower of Jesus. He went home and told his parents all about it, and his parents were like, well, if you're going to church, I guess we need to go too. And the next Sunday, his mom and dad went, and both my grandma and grandpa, my dad's mom and dad, gave their life to Jesus the next week, because some little old lady was in the succession of this story of people who were farmers, who were throwing seed. And they told my dad, and my dad became a follower of Jesus. And from my birth, my dad started planting this in my heart. And when I was 7, my heart got broken, got soft, and the seed took root and grew. And I stand here and I'm throwing seed. That's my job. The sower, I am in succession. I'm not Jesus. I'm not perfect, but Jesus was the first sower, but he commissioned his people to be farmers. And my question for you, who has sown the seed in your life? Be thankful for that person this morning. Who is it that scattered seed and at one point in time it took root? And if you're like, that's not happened for me. This whole series is for you. But if you're sitting here this morning, you're like, I really believe that I'm the good soil, that there is fruit in my life. It's there because somebody in this great story of faith, the beautiful message of the gospel, somebody else received the gospel, their life was transformed, and they went, I'm now a farmer, and they cast the seed, and it reached your soil, it reached your heart, you were transformed by the gospel, and that is beautiful. And this week, my challenge to you is to give him a call and say, thanks for being a good farmer. Thanks for sowing the seed in my life. It's transformed me. It matters. And so there's a sower. There's also a seed. What is a seed? Well, it tells us in verse 14, it says, the sower sows the word. Now, in a very general sense, that's any time we open the Bible and read it, but in a very specific sense, Jesus is getting something much deeper and much clearer here, and it is the word of the gospel. When we talk about the Bible, this book is, we consider this the word of God, but part of the reason it is the word of God is it's telling us this great story. And that story is leading us to Jesus. And every word in this book, every story, every law, every image, every song is pointing us to the coming of God in the flesh, that Jesus was going to come. And so the word is about Jesus. We in Genesis hold what we call a Christological lens to the Bible, which means everywhere we open the Bible, we see what the Bible's saying, but we know that whatever it's saying, there is a line that tethers us to the story of Jesus and the coming of God's Son in the person of Jesus. And so ultimately, the word here, while the Bible as a whole, it is pointing very specifically to the message that we call the gospel, the good news of Jesus. So what is that gospel? What is the seed? And I'm just going to give you three images from the life of Jesus that I think describe the whole of the gospel. The gospel is not about me. It is about Jesus. The gospel is the story of Jesus. As we get into the book of Mark, we're going to find out that it is called the gospel according to Mark. And that in the very first words, Mark says, this is the story, the beginning of the gospel. Good news that he is proclaiming. That good news is about Jesus. And so as we say, the sower sows the word, what is he talking about? Three images from the life of Jesus that I think takes us to what the whole of the gospel is. It is the picture of the manger, the picture of a cross, the picture of a crown. And this is the gospel, the manger. The fact that in the storyline, that God himself, that the eternal, divine Son of God, stepped out of heaven. He took on flesh and God became human. He took on vulnerability. He took on hardship. He took on everything that it means to be human. And in the story of Christmas, as we look at the manger, the idea that Jesus was born in a little bitty redneck town in the most brutal of circumstances, where his mom didn't have anything to lay him in except a feed trough. We see the beauty of the story of God as God took on humanity. And he left everything in heaven to enter into our brokenness, our hurt, our anguish, our struggle. And the manger shows us the humanity of Jesus, that God became a man. And he lived a perfect life. The difference in Jesus' humanity and ours is that every day we sin, we fail, we mess up. But in Jesus' humanity, he was perfect and he honored the Father with every decision, every act that he ever did. In Jesus' humanity, not only was he perfect, but he also was an amazing miracle worker. And he transformed people's lives. But we also find out this morning he was a teacher who sowed seeds. And Jesus, in his perfect humanity, the story says this, our understanding of the gospel is that God entered into our brokenness and our struggle with us. That God is not distant out there who separates himself from us and won't have anything to do with us. That God literally steps into our story, and the story of the manger tells us this. But the second part of the gospel is the story of the cross. The idea that not only did Jesus show up in human form, but he literally died the death that I should have died in my place for my sins, and that Jesus' death is for me. In my place. that because of my rebellion towards God and my idolatry of making everything else in my life more important than the God who created me, I am broken, far from God, and I deserve everything that God gives me. But Jesus died on a cross, taking on God's wrath in our place for our sins. And so manger tells us that God became a man and took on humanity. Cross set tells us that Jesus died, that God himself in human form died in our place for our sins as our substitute. But then there's also a crown, the idea that 3 days later, Jesus rose again. The story doesn't end with the cross. It ends with the resurrection and beyond, as Jesus literally blew the doors off of the grave, overcame death, hell, and everything else, and now he is king. And the story of the Bible is the story of a kingdom, that God is the rightful king, created all that is, but we have tried to usurp his authority. We didn't want a king. We wanted to be king. And God has stepped back into the story in the person of Jesus, and that now Jesus is king. And the story of the gospel is I need to look and understand that God came for me in human form, that Jesus died in my place for my sin, but I also need to bow my knee to him as my king. And that's the message. That is the message that as the sower is sowing the word, what he's saying is, listen, you need to know Jesus came for us. He was born in Bethlehem. God became a man, but he also died on the cross for us, and he paid the penalty for our sins, but he is victorious. He has won. He has overcome, and Jesus is the king. That's the message. And the sower sows a seed. And for 2,000 years, people have been proclaiming, preaching, teaching. And what's really weird is you start studying the scriptures, you think that the way that God should show up, that like we should be in this room and there should be a weird presence and like all of a sudden miracles, and that's the way that God primarily works, is if we have a whole bunch of crazy miracles in the room. Or maybe if we go outside and there's a voice from heaven that says, hello, this is God. See, it was kind of cool. I could use the microphone a little bit different. But and like God would speak from heaven. But the amazing thing is you even read the Bible is that God's primary way of demonstrating his greatness is through the weakness of preaching. You think, what a crazy idea. God, if you were going to get your message across, some dude standing on stage talking for way too long is not the best way to go about it. But what happens is God has ordained the message proclaimed, the seed planted. It's why over and over and over in this passage, he talks about our ears. The very first word of the parable is listen. The word is in the form of a command. It's not, hey, y'all come over here and listen. It is Jesus looking right at the people and go, y'all better listen. He goes on a little bit later to say a phrase that he says over and over and over again. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's a very interesting phrase because it's like, hey, I have ears. But Jesus is making a statement. There is a deeper level of hearing. And so listen. Learn how to listen. Learn how to receive, because there is this amazing divine initiated miracle that some dude proclaiming like I do week to week, or some person who just sits down and opens the Bible and says, let me tell you about Jesus. The verbal pronouncement of the message is the casting of a seed. And God literally uses that to plant it in the hearts of people. And literally it will spring up and grow and become the miracle of salvation in our lives. So how are you at listening? That's the whole point of this story. And that leads us to the third group of people, and that is the soil. The third idea, the issue here is the soil. The fact that there is a pronouncement that there are four types of soil, and the type of soil will ultimately determine how we respond and receive to the gospel. But it even shows up in the story, in the people around the story. Check out verse 1 again. It says, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into the boat and sat on it in the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. It says there's a large crowd. We find out in other places that this was literally tens of thousands of people. Tens of thousands of people came from all over the place to come hear Jesus teach, to preach, to see him do miracles. They were just enthralled with this man who was hanging out in this region in northern Israel, the region of Galilee, going from town to town, preaching and teaching and proclaiming the message, planting seeds. And literally from all over the place, thousands of people. And the crowd was made up of people who were just curious. We want to see a miracle. It was made up of religious leaders who were getting ticked. They didn't like Jesus because he was messing with their notoriety, their prestige, their fame. There's people in this crowd who are just, I mean, literally living lives that are far from God, and they're just wanting to show up going to make fun of Jesus. And there's a whole ton of people who are just there. And what happens in the story is that these people are contrasted with another group of people that we find a little bit later. And it says here that Jesus, literally, the crowd was so big that he was trying to teach along the sea. And, you know, they didn't have nice, neat little chairs, and the crowd just keeps growing. And it's like a bunch of kids in, you know, first grade. Everybody wants to be at the front of the line, right? And so the crowd just keeps pushing towards Jesus to where his only choice to not drown is to hop in a boat. And they push the boat out a little ways. And now this fishing boat that was probably owned by one of Jesus' 12 disciples becomes his pulpit. And rather than being on a stage like I am, he's out in a boat, and the crowd goes, well, we can't go any farther without going in, so we'll stop here. And they sit down, and there's literally a place along the Sea of Galilee that's called the Valley of the Parables, that it's said that it's almost like a natural amphitheater. It's almost like God created the world and went, Jesus is going to talk here, so I'm going to make this really cool place where it's going to work. And literally a person in a normal voice can stand there and speak in such a way that literally tens of thousands of people could hear him speak in this little valley. And so Jesus pushes it out on a boat, begins to preach, begins to teach, begins to tell these parables to these people. And he goes through the parable. He just tells the parable. Hey, man, there's this farmer sowing seed, four types of soil, the end. But what I want you to notice is that tens of thousands of people, most of them go, that was a cute story, and they go home. This is the problem. This is the very issue. So look at what Jesus says, goes on to say in verse 10. When he was done, those around him in the 12, now a smaller group of people go, man, there's something more to this. I got to know what it is. Something's gone off in my heart. I'm curious. And so they come to Jesus and they go, all right, man, we're not going to leave. We're not going home. We're not headed to McDonald's. We're not going to Burger King. We got to know what's going on. There's something more to this. And Jesus begins to tell them, and he says, listen, verse 11, he said to them, it's been given to you the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables. This is what he's saying. He's saying, listen, the seed of the gospel is a mystery. If you just try to put it on a sheet of paper and graph it out, create a church growth plan, try to come up with all kinds of cute little ways to make it work, it won't work. There is a secret that has to be revealed. And he says, to you, that secret's been given. The seed has sunk deep into your heart. The work of God has transformed your life. And the mystery, the secret of the kingdom, has become a reality for you. Now watch this. This is one of the hardest verses in the whole Bible. But if I'm going to preach the whole counsel of God, I got to tell you what's going on in this verse. Look at this, verse 17, or verse 12. So that they may indeed see, but not perceive. They may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. I want you to hear what Jesus is saying. That as the seeds planted, as Jesus proclaims, as he teaches in parables, the parables actually have a twofold effect. On some people, the parable will find the soft soil of people's hearts, and they will be drawn to the story and go, there's more here. I've got to know what more is. And for those people, The work of God in their hearts, softening their souls and drawing them to himself, is literally an act of God's mercy and grace. He is giving them the secret of the kingdom. For other people, they will show up, they will hear the story, they will hear the message, they will hear the preaching and go, man, that was funny. Man, that was neat. Man, that was cool. And then they will shut themselves off and go on about their lives. And literally the same act of preaching that is an act of God's divine mercy in one group of people's lives is actually an act of divine judgment in the other people's lives. I used to preach, and many of you have been in churches that do a thing called an invitation. And the idea of an invitation is at the end of service, you would start playing a song and play, you know, in some churches they play that song over and over. You hear 47 verses of a song called Just As I Am. And the pastor comes down, stands in front, and says, if anybody wants to make a decision to follow Jesus, I'm down here. And part of the reason we don't do that is because I think in our culture there's a little bit of weirdness. People who haven't been in churches that was part of the background, they see that, they're like, don't know what to do with that, but I'm not walking down there because that's just awkward and uncomfortable. And so we feel like there's other ways that we can give you opportunities to respond to the gospel, okay? But the other negative response I kept seeing is that you had a whole church of people who've been in church all their lives, and we had actually kind of conditioned them that the sermon was for somebody else. The pastor would stand up and preach on whether it was on God's plan for marriage and how the gospel applies to that, or God's plan, you know, don't gossip and why gossip is against God's purpose, or, I mean, whatever it is. He would stand up and proclaim, and then he would kind of, at the end of the sermon, go, and oh, by the way, let me tell you what the gospel is, because some of you in here may not be Christians. And what happened, I watched is a room full of people who were supposed to be following Jesus and seeking the gospel's transformation in their life had this seed planted, but that curveball of this thing called the invitation led to a point where everybody went, whew, sermon's over. Now, I'm going to close my Bible. I'm going to pick up my purse. I'm going to grab my keys and get ready because I'm going to be the first one out the door to make sure I get to the local hometown buffet first. And instead of saying, there is something for you, did this sermon soften your heart? Did it speak into you? We literally were starting to condition Christian, or at least people who are religious, into feeling like that wasn't for me, it was for somebody else. I can go on about my life. You got to hear me. That is the response of this entire crowd who leaves. 10,000 or so people walk away. And what Jesus is teaching those who stay and say, I want more, he's literally saying to them, the act of the message proclaimed and the fact that they went, that's over, I'm going to leave now, is actually an act of divine judgment. This story is actually a massive warning. Now, I'm not going to try to stand up here and say it's because of me. I'm not trying to convince you that because I'm preaching and because I'm up here and coming up with stories and that you got to listen. But what I am saying to you is in this parable, what Jesus does is he begins to unpack for us the idea that there is a seed, there is a sower, and I am the soil. And what we find out is that there's four types of soil. And the question is, which type am I? Because three of the four missed the kingdom. Three of the four types of soil in the soils, three of the four types of dirt in this story completely missed the kingdom of God. Now, I was going to get to the first type of soil, but I'm not. I'm going to stop right here, and we'll deal with it next week. We're going to talk about the path next week, and we're going to talk a little bit about the rocky ground next week. And we're going to talk about what Jesus means by these two types of people. But here's the challenge for every one of us in this morning. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. I'm not saying that the end sermon, you got to come talk to me and go, I want to know more. But is there something going on where literally a plow is breaking up the hardness of your heart and the depths of your soul are starting to go, I want to figure out what the manger, the cross, and the crown are all about, how that seed is going to plant deep inside me and transform me? Or have you become so conditioned by your religious experience to go, whew, that's over. Now, where are we going to lunch? My desire for Genesis Church is a church full of people who understand the gospel. It is transforming their lives and is producing fruit. And so that's my hope and dream and prayer for you today. And so back to the cup. You now get it. It's good soil. As you hold on to that, as you put it in your window, you watch, but walk by that, and for the rest of you, it starts growing seed. My experience is that ours won't. And all of a sudden, you see little sprouts. As you watch that grow over the next few weeks, let that be a point that every time you see it, you stop and pray, God, make my heart good soil. Whatever it takes to break it up, to remove the junk in it, and to soften it, God, please do that. Because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. And with your kids, Start teaching them to pray the same prayer. Grab that soil, put it on your table as you eat dinner, and look and go, hey, remember we planted this a couple weeks ago. Let's pray together. As we pray over our meal, let's pray tonight, God, as a whole family. God, I pray for Josiah. Make his heart soft soil. God, I pray for Alex. Make her heart soft soil. God, I pray for Andy as he's at Southwest Baptist University, that as he hears people there proclaiming the message, make his heart soft. God, Grace and Mary, they're just little girls, and we read Bible stories to them. They don't know what the heck we're talking about, but God, make their hearts soft soil. Start praying that for your kids, for your family members. And just ask God to plow up the junk. That's what we hope to do the next 3 weeks. This is week one. The next 3 weeks, we hope to start challenging you to find yourself in the story and asking God to plow your heart. I'm going to pray. The band's going to come out. We're going to sing and celebrate Jesus, who is the message of Jesus, is the seed. And we're going to praise him because he is the one who came in the manger. He died on the cross. He is the king. And we're going to sing about him and worship him and celebrate him and look to him, okay? But my challenge is, as you're doing that, don't learn to be conditioned in this church like the folks in the other church. Oh, we're done with the sermon. I'm checking out. Let your voices be raised to the one that we worship. That's why we choose to sing and worship after the sermon, because we believe everybody has a response to every message preached, and that response is always worship, that we see Jesus lifted up, okay? So we're going to sing and worship. We're going to give. Our offering is actually a time where those who are part of our church respond to what God and say, God has done so much for me, and we love God, we love Jesus, and we're just going to give a little bit back as a sign of the fact that he's changed our lives, okay? And so our offering is that for us this morning. And so I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing and celebrate Jesus. We're going to have somebody out, come out and pray about community groups and introduce community groups, and we're just going to look to the one who loves us enough to come for us. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we exalt you. And I just pray for the next few minutes that our hearts will be softened. And Lord, not just the next few minutes, for the next few weeks, that you will break up hard ground path. You will start chunking rocks up, and you will pull the weeds so that we have a good fruit. In your name I pray. Amen.